Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, November 18th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
President Trump fires a Homeland Security official who denied claims of election fraud.
Pfizer's vaccine reaches a key safety milestone and prepares for emergency use approval.
The push for pandemic relief stalls again as Hillary Clinton joins the chorus calling for a new package.
Shootings in New York City almost doubled in 2020, plus New York State driver's licenses will have a new option for gender identity. And X, I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashammer in sports. They'll hold the NBA draft tonight. Minnesota owns the first pick. The Knicks pick 8th. The Nets 19th.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Hey, good Wednesday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. futures are higher this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 9 points. Dow futures up 78. NASDAQ futures up 40. The DAX in Germany is up 0.25%. CAC in Paris up 0.1%. And the FTSE 100 down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 0.85%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.17%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1%. Or 42 cents at $41.85 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $12.10 at $18.72.80 an ounce. And the euro 1.1877 against the dollar. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We begin with the latest out of Washington. President Trump has fired a Homeland Security official who contradicted his unfounded claims about election fraud. Here with more is Amy Morris from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Christopher Krebs is a former Microsoft official who the president had named to the top cybersecurity job. But the president says he is, quote, finished with Krebs, tweeting that his comments on election security were highly inaccurate. Krebs' agency had called the election the most secure ever. Krebs' firing isn't unexpected, even by Krebs himself, who had debunked the president's claims of voter fraud. His departure comes as other key officials throughout DHS are stepping down amid a broader purge by the outgoing president. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Turning to the pandemic now, prospects for a vaccine appear to be brightening. Pfizer CEO said its shots has reached a key safety milestone. Now the company will seek emergency use authorization. And we spoke with U.S. Health Secretary Alex Azar about the timeline.
You would expect Moderna and Pfizer to submit applications to the FDA for authorization any day now, as soon as they go through their data and get their applications straight. I can't predict when FDA would rule on them. I can assure you FDA will act as expeditiously as possible. We certainly are hopeful that we will begin vaccination campaigns in our most vulnerable individuals in December.
Efficacy results have been positive from both Pfizer and Moderna. Studies show the vaccines at least 90% effective against the virus.
At the same time, the U.S. has approved the first COVID self-testing kit. The FDA issued emergency use authorization to Lucira Health's rapid result kit. It is the first test that can be self-administered and provide results in 30 minutes or less.
Meantime, on Capitol Hill, the push for a pandemic relief package continues to little effect. Democrats are asking Mitch McConnell to resume talks. The Senate Majority Leader said he'd support just a $500 billion bill, far short of what Democrats want. Now Hillary Clinton is joining the call for more stimulus, saying money still hasn't gone to areas that needed most. The former Secretary of State spoke at the Bloomberg New Economy Forum.
The original stimulus post-COVID was not sufficient. It really did not reach those people, either the employees or the small businesses that were in the greatest need.
Clinton said inequality has been exacerbated by the pandemic and the consequences could linger long after a vaccine is distributed. Coming up at the Bloomberg New Economy Forum today, tune in for a conversation with Larry Fink. The BlackRock CEO speaks with Carlyle Group co-founder David Rubenstein at 7 p.m. Wall Street time.
Jay Powell is weighing in on the pandemic as well. The Federal Reserve chairman warns rising infection rates pose a significant risk to the recovery.
With the virus now spreading at a fast rate, the next few months may be very challenging. We're not going back to the same economy. We're going back to a different economy.
Heads of the Bank of England and the European Central Bank are also issuing warnings. Andrew Bailey and Christine Lagarde say there is a tough road ahead for the global recovery.
A controversial pick for the Fed has been blocked in the Senate. Judy Shelton failed to pick up the votes needed to advance her nomination after two Republican senators were absent from the vote. Both were quarantining after exposure to COVID-19. Bloomberg senior editor Derek Wallbank says Shelton's nomination is running out of time.
Shelton has a window for confirmation, but it's not a forever window. It tightens very quickly, so Republicans are really sitting in a situation where they'd like to confirm her, they'd like to put her through, but you don't really quite know when, and sooner or later, tick tock, tick tock.
Shelton's nomination could get another vote as soon as this week if one of the two lawmakers under quarantine can return to the Senate floor.
Meantime, on Wall Street, the pandemic is impacting the workforce at Goldman Sachs. The bank is cutting jobs again. We get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It comes as a moratorium on firings during the pandemic gives way to a push to improve efficiency. According to sources, this round is not expected to exceed the roughly 400 positions the bank began eliminating in September. But executives expect to go deeper in the coming year in what could eventually amount to one of the most significant staff reductions at the bank as it looks to deliver on a promise to rein in costs. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Wall Street's been preparing for tougher regulations under President-elect Joe Biden, but now President Trump is making moves to curb that effort. We get the very latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John, good morning.
And Karen, the Trump administration says it intends to nominate the acting controller of the currency, Brian Brooks, to a new five-year term. Major regulations for U.S. banks are written and approved in part by the OCC, and Brooks is considered relatively soft on the financial industry. Brooks wouldn't have much time to be confirmed before President-elect Biden is sworn in, and it's unclear whether Senate Republicans could marshal enough votes given what's happening with Judy Shelton's nomination. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. We're watching some headlines crossing the Bloomberg. Apple cutting by half the fees charged to most developers who sell software and services on the App Store. And another headline, PG&E has named Patricia Poppe as its next CEO. Futures this morning on the rise. S&P futures up 10 points this morning. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr for more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. The New York Police Department says shootings in the city have almost doubled in 2020 and arrests for major crimes have fallen. According to NYPD data, there were more than 1,300 shootings in New York and a 13% drop in serious crime arrests. Mayor Bill de Blasio attributed the rise in shootings to the pandemic with the closure of businesses, schools, and houses of worship. He says that created a perfect storm in the city. Meanwhile, the mayor expressed relief that schools can remain open with the city's seven-day positivity rate remaining below 3%.
It is so important that everyone get out there and get tested. And for the folks who test positive, we immediately provide a lot of support, and we do that contact tracing.
In Connecticut, Governor Lamont added Vermont to its COVID travel advisory list. Michigan's largest county, which includes Detroit, has unanimously certified election results showing Democrat Joe Biden defeating President Trump hours after Republicans first blocked formal approval of voters' intentions. The initial vote was quickly condemned by Democrats, election experts, and spectators at the Wayne County Board of Canvassers meeting as a dangerous attempt to block the results of a free and fair election. Georgia's Republican Secretary of State says he believes that President Trump cost himself votes with his campaign to undermine mail-in voting. He says tens of thousands who voted by absentee ballot in the state's GOP primary did not vote in the November election. India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi says rebuilding urban cities is job one on the other side of the pandemic. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Prime Minister Modi at the Bloomberg New Economy Forum says sustainability.
This includes better housing facilities, better work environment, shorter and efficient travel. Friends, our cities cannot prosper without availability of affordable housing.
He says not only India, but the entire globe's urban areas. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Instead of male or female, New York intends to offer driver's licenses with a non-binary gender identity marker of X. State officials say it could take more than a year before Department of Motor Vehicles computers will be able to automatically handle the option. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashar.
Thanks, Nathan. Unlike a year ago with Zion Williamson, there's no one in tonight's NBA draft that is seen as a franchise-changing type player. The first pick could be LaMelo Ball, only 18 years old, a 6'7" point guard who never played college basketball. His brother Lonzo was once the second overall pick of the Lakers. He now plays in New Orleans. Minnesota owns the first pick. Then comes Golden State. The Knicks pick 8th. The Nets 19th. The Celtics have 3 first-round picks. A lot of trade rumors around Boston's Gordon Hayward, perhaps going to Atlanta. And the rumors involving the 2 stars in Houston continues. James Harden and Russell Westbrook both want out, but the Rockets say they feel no pressure to trade either one of them. Theo Epstein was the surprise pick to be Red Sox general manager when he was only 29 years old. He then built the team that ended the Sox' 86-year championship drought and then went to Chicago and won the Cubs' first title in 108 years. Epstein is now 46, and in a surprising move, he resigned his position in Chicago, will be replaced by his longtime assistant, Jed Hoyer. Graham Gano's been a terrific kicker for the Giants this year. He's made every extra point, 21 of 22 field goals, but Gano just tested positive. Might not be able to kick when the Giants come back from their bye week. The Jets in week 13 will face Seattle and their old friend safety Jamal Adams, who forced a trade to the Seahawks, and Adams just blasted his old team. He said all the losing in his 3 years in New York led him to depression. He called the Jets a laughingstock. Ratings in for the Masters, lowest ever, continuing the trend for every major sporting event during the pandemic. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
And John, a lot of sports teams have been selling cardboard cutouts to fill the seats, but the University of Kentucky is doing it with a twist. For $50, fans can buy a 4-foot cutout that goes in the first 2 rows of Rupp Arena, or for a premium, there's a 6-foot option signed by men's basketball coach John Calipari that goes in the tunnel where the team enters the floor. Futures higher. This is Bloomberg. And it's just before 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by your Tri-State Audi dealers. Add some thrill to your wish list during the Season of Audi sales event at your Tri-State Audi dealer. This is Bloomberg. Good morning.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Lowe's down about 6% in early trading. This after the home improvement retailer reported profit that missed analyst estimates in the third quarter. Comp sales, though, beat. Apple, meanwhile, cutting by half the fees charged to most developers who sell software and services on the App Store, marking the biggest change to the store's revenue structure since the iPhone maker launched the service in 2008. Apple shares are lower, down 0.3% right now. U.S. stock index futures are on the rise this morning. S&P futures up about 11 points. Dow futures up 91. NASDAQ futures up 42. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd yield, 0.86%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.17%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.9% or 37 cents at $41.78 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $10.70 at $18.74.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1876 against the dollar. British pound 1.3287 and the yen 103.86. And we're watching Bitcoin. It is surging past $18,000 for the first time since December 2017. Currently at $18,156, up 2.9%. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump has fired the nation's top election security official who refuted the president's unsubstantiated claims of electoral fraud. In a tweet, Trump dismissed the director of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, Christopher Krebs. Krebs says the election was the most secure in American history. Michigan's largest county, that includes Detroit, reversed its decision not to certify election results. It came after a national uproar over an earlier vote along party lines by the Wayne County Board of Canvassers to withhold approval. Republican Senator Chuck Grassley says he tested positive for coronavirus. Grassley, who is 87, said in a tweet he's feeling good. In sports, the NBA draft is tonight. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks for coming up to 620 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager, bringing in Andy Pekosch, now professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, as we continue to track not just this fast-spreading pandemic, but the race for a vaccine. Dr. Pekosch, great to have you on with us this morning. It's been a kind of a tale of two cities situation we're in here. Really good news on the vaccine front, really bad news when it comes to how quickly this pandemic is spreading, particularly in this country. How should we be looking at where we are right now?
You know, the vaccine is fantastic news, but I think that, you know, we have to keep our focus on the current moment. And, you know, the vaccine will help us 2 months, 3 months, 6 months down the line. We have to do something to get our case numbers down, essentially across the country. Some states are in much worse shape than others, but essentially every state is seeing increases in the numbers of cases, and many of those states are now reaching stages where their hospitalization capacities are getting tapped. And I think the important thing to also realize is, you know, we talk about hospital beds, we talk about intensive care units. We also have to talk about the people who are manning those units and the healthcare workers, the nurses, the doctors, the staff, and the incredible stress that this is putting on them to provide the care to this large number of people that really need intensive treatment.
Yeah, I was speaking with a emergency medicine physician from Brown University the other day, talking about how the frontline healthcare workers are starting to get extremely burned out at this point. And the big difference from the spring is that the surge in cases was more concentrated to cities. Now, as you mentioned, it's spreading all across the country. What does that mean for the kind of support that healthcare workers are going to need, and will they get it?
Yeah, this is the really important thing that is so difficult to do during these types of surges of cases, because, you know, essentially we need everybody to be on the front line to help with a large number of cases. That leaves very little time for people to take a break, to walk away, to sort of take care of their own selves and to recharge their batteries, to get themselves back in a good mental place so they can come back and do their jobs. It's very difficult for people to really understand what it's like to go into a hospital in some of these COVID wards and to see all of these patients that are in such severe, dire medical conditions, and to deal with that over and over again on a daily basis. And as you see patients move in, to see more patients come in, it's an incredible stress that that is not being, I think, considered enough as we talk about this outbreak.
We're seeing a number of states and cities impose or reimpose restrictions, kind of a piecemeal approach here. Is that going to be enough?
The important thing to understand about interventions is, you know, they take a couple of weeks before you start to see the trickle effects of those. Because of the way this virus has a long incubation period, and there's a relatively long period of time between getting infected and needing hospitalization. So interventions now, we won't see the effects of those for another week to 10 days at the earliest. Some of the places in this country are seeing exponential rises, and tweaking in these small ways may not be enough to stem that tide. No one wants to go to a complete lockdown like we did before, but the way to avoid that is to act early and to act decisively, use the data that we've that we're accumulating from all of the preparations that we've had to do over the past few months to drive those targeted interventions.
Not just a week to 10 days before we see results of interventions. We're also a week away or 8 days away from Thanksgiving. What are your expectations there, Professor?
I would really encourage everybody to think carefully about what their holiday plans are. My family is bringing home two kids from college. We've got a plan in place in terms of what they have to do before coming, what they have to do when they leave to go home. Everybody needs to think very, very carefully about their holiday plans and really think about scaling things down this year, finding alternative ways to touch base with family, because this is a terribly critical time in this pandemic, and the Thanksgiving holidays just have the potential to really expand an already out-of-control situation.
And we'll have to see if that advice gets heeded. Professor Andy Petkosh of Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology there. Thank you, as always, for your insights as we head closer to the holiday season. Get the very latest on the coronavirus pandemic at VRUS. Go on the Bloomberg Terminal or Bloomberg.com/coronavirus for our free coverage of the pandemic. S&P futures higher by 8 points. Dow futures up 72. NASDAQ futures up 34 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's catch you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We start in Washington, where President Trump has fired a Homeland Security official who contradicted his unfounded claims on election fraud. Here with the latest is Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
Cybersecurity Director Christopher Krebs had said that the election was secure and highly accurate, refuting the president's claims of widespread election fraud. Trump claims that it is highly inaccurate and has been blaming his loss on a number of different things. Krebs has been telling people at the agency that he expected to get fired for several days. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. Turning to the pandemic now, we have some key developments on the vaccine front. Pfizer says its shot has reached a key safety milestone, and it's now preparing to seek emergency use authorization. We spoke with U.S. Health Secretary Alex Azar.
I can't predict when the FDA would rule on them. I can assure you FDA will act as expeditiously as possible. We certainly are hopeful that we will begin vaccination campaigns on our most vulnerable individuals in December.
At the same time, the U.S. has approved the first COVID self-testing kit. The FDA issued emergency use authorization to Lucira Health for the first self-administered test that provides results in 30 minutes.
Meantime, on Capitol Hill, the push for a pandemic relief package continues, but to little effect. Democrats are asking Mitch McConnell to resume talks. The Senate Majority Leader says he would support just a $500 billion bill. That is far short of what Democrats want.
And the pandemic is once again bringing more job cuts to Wall Street. We get the very latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Karen, Goldman Sachs is preparing to trim its workforce for the second time in just 3 months. A moratorium on firings during the pandemic has now been lifted. The focus is now on improving efficiency. This round is expected to be less than the roughly 400 positions Goldman began eliminating in September, but executives anticipate going deeper in the coming year. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. We are watching earnings this morning. Target reporting third quarter comp sales rose almost 21%, and that beat analyst estimates. They were looking for an 11.5% rise. Target shares up 0.25% in early trading. S&P futures also higher, up 8.5 points. Dow futures up 74. NASDAQ futures up 33. The DAX in Germany up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd yield, 0.86%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.17%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 32 cents at $41.75 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.6%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for your special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's Michael Varr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Shootings are up and arrests are down in New York City this year. According to the NYPD, the city had more than 1,300 shootings, or an increase of almost 95%. Meanwhile, arrests for major crimes fell by 13%. Mayor Bill de Blasio attributed the rise to pandemic closures of business, schools, and houses of worship as creating the perfect storm. Meanwhile, de Blasio says that public schools in the city can remain open today with the 7-day coronavirus positivity rate below 3%.
We know that that contact tracing has stopped a lot of other people from getting infected. So you see, every time someone gets tested,
It either gives us the good news that they're okay, or if it's the unfortunate news they test positive, it still gives us the ability to act as quickly as possible to stop the infection from spreading.
The MTA will release its budget proposal today. The transit agency needs $12 billion of federal funds by late March to avoid drastic cuts. The coronavirus decimated revenue and ridership. Without more federal help, the MTA will likely cut service as much as 40% on subways and buses and 50% on commuter rail lines. New York intends to offer driver's licenses with a non-binary gender identity marker of X. State officials say, though, it could take more than a year before Department of Motor Vehicles computers will be able to automatically handle the option. The Republican Secretary of State in Georgia says he believes that President Trump cost himself votes with his campaign to undermine mail-in voting. Brad Reffensperger says it's likely contributed to about 25,000 people who voted by absentee ballot in the Republican primary not to vote in the November 3rd election. Raffensperger also claims that he has been pressured by Republican lawmakers to produce evidence of voter fraud in his state.
Surprising at some of the vitriol and outright lies and then, you know, some of the threats that you get. I would have thought Republicans were better than that.
President-elect Joe Biden has a 13,000 vote advantage in Georgia. Republican Senator Chuck Grassley said in a tweet that he tested positive for coronavirus but is feeling good. Grassley, who is 87, says he is following doctor's orders. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashower has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, 5 months later than usual, the NBA draft takes place tonight. Minnesota owns the first pick. The Knicks will pick 8th. The Nets 19th. Among the top players, LaMelo Ball, the 18-year-old point guard, never played college basketball. James Wiseman, a 7-footer, played only a few games in college. Also, Georgia's Anthony Edwards. Dayton's Obi Toppin, who was born in Brooklyn, went to high school in Westchester. Denny Avdija could be the first international pick. He's a 19-year-old from Israel. Theo Epstein may very well end up someday in the Baseball Hall of Fame. He built teams that won championships in Boston and Chicago, ending 86 and 108-year droughts for the Red Sox and Cubs. Epstein resigned in Chicago and was asked, what's next?
I do hope to stay engaged in the game. This game is my passion. I care deeply about it. And so I'm going to seek out ways to serve the game in the near future. And I've already, started to pursue a few possible avenues to do that.
The Mets are looking for a GM to work under Sandy Alderson. Hiring Epstein is seen as unlikely. The Giants may need a new kicker when they return from their bye week. Graham Gano tested positive for the virus, only missed one kick all year. It just earned Gano a 3-year contract extension. Greg Marshall forced into resigning as basketball coach at Wichita State, where he had great success, but recent revelations that Marshall once punched a player, choked an assistant coach. He still gets the nearly $8 million owed to him. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right. Thanks, John. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Warren Buffett likes stocks again. I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Warren Buffett is a living, breathing billionaire, but he's also a leading economic indicator. So after his company dumped almost $13 billion of stocks in the throes of the COVID-19 crisis, investors were beside themselves. They'll now be quite relieved, however, to see Berkshire Hathaway back in buying mode, making its biggest outlay for equity purchases in a year. In the latest quarter, Berkshire bought a handful of pharmaceutical giants, AbbVie, Bristol Myers, Merck, and Pfizer, in a bet on COVID vaccines and the industry at large. It also took a stake in T-Mobile, the wireless carrier with the most enviable 5G spectrum holdings, and Snowflake, one of the hottest tech IPOs of the year. It's incredible how a virus and the mishandling thereof rattled Buffett's optimism in a way that wars, terrorist attacks, and other recessions didn't. The U.S. isn't out of the woods yet, but Buffett's latest moves suggest there are reasons to be hopeful. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opin or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. On the economic front today, the government issues data on October housing starts and building permits. Economists forecast another round of healthy readings. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
Housing starts have advanced in four of the past 5 months, bolstered by low mortgage rates and a shift to the suburbs. Bloomberg Economics says low inventory will continue to drive home building even as the pandemic gathers momentum. Data Tuesday showed home builder confidence is running high, setting a record this month. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Vinny, thank you. Some other stories we're following this morning. The trading platform that is all the rage with first-time investors may be going public. Sources say Robinhood has asked banks to pitch for roles in an IPO. The company hopes to go public as soon as the first quarter of next year. In its most recent funding round, Robinhood was valued at $11.7 billion. In Europe, a recovery in demand for new cars didn't last long. Car sales fell in October by 7.1%. That's after countries started reimposing restrictions to contain the spread of the coronavirus. Other than a small gain in September, European car sales have been in decline all year. They are down 27% through the first 10 months. Watching retail earnings this morning, we heard from Target. Third quarter comparable sales beat the average analyst estimate. It came in 20.7% higher. The average analyst was looking for an 11.6% rise in Target sales. And this red headline crossed the Bloomberg terminal moments ago. Boeing's 737 MAX has won approval from the Federal Aviation Administration to resume flights. Of course, the MAX had been grounded for months following two fatal crashes. But again, the Boeing 737 MAX has won FAA approval to resume flights. And taking a look at Target's shares in the pre-market following that earnings beat, shares are up 5% for Target. S&P futures are higher by 7 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We have breaking news from Pfizer crossing the Bloomberg. The company said its COVID vaccine was 95% effective in a final analysis of clinical trial data. That paves the way for Pfizer and its partner BioNTech to apply for the first U.S. regulatory authorization for a coronavirus shot. Shares of Pfizer higher in early trading, up 2.7% right now. And just to clarify some stock price action we just brought you, Boeing is up more than 5% right now. This, as U.S. regulators ruled it, 737 MAX can safely return to the skies with an extensive package of fixes. Meanwhile, Target shares, they're higher, up 0.9% after third quarter comp sales were almost double what analysts were looking for. S&P futures are rising. S&P futures up 13 points. Dow futures up 145. NASDAQ futures up 22. The DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 0.86%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.17%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.5% or 60 cents at $42.04 a barrel. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump says he fired a Department of Homeland Security official who has publicly contradicted the president's unfounded claims about widespread election fraud. Christopher Krebs became the first director of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. His agency had declared the November 3rd election the most secure in American history. In a tweet last night, the president said he was finished with Krebs. And we have more on that breaking news from Pfizer. The company's COVID vaccine was 95% effective in a final analysis of clinical trial data protecting people of all ages and ethnicities. Pfizer says there have been no significant safety problems so far in a trial that includes almost 44,000 participants. Analysis shows the shot helped prevent severe disease, with 9 of 10 severe cases in the trial occurring in the placebo group. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 6:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to get more now on the breaking efficacy news from Pfizer this morning. Sam Fazeli is with us, senior pharmaceutical analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. So now the top line number, Sam, is 95% effectiveness. It comes on the heels of 94.5% for Moderna. It just seems like the news when it comes to the efficacy of these vaccine candidates just keeps getting better and better.
Absolutely, Nathan. You know, you didn't think it could get better, right? So there's two things that are really exciting here for me. One is that the number of cases in the vaccine group, when we went from the previous release to today, hasn't increased. So that means that this vaccine could go beyond 95% effective if it continues in that way. And we need to understand why those eight people did catch the disease or report symptoms. And the other thing is that I also understand that the efficacy in people over the age of 65, although the numbers are going to be small, is around more than 94%. Now that is great. That is where we've had very little clarity, and I think I'm really excited to see that. That's really, really good news.
So do we still then have unanswered questions, though, about the safety of these shots and the durability of the immunity that they provide? Are we going to see long-term immunity from these vaccinations?
Yeah, Nathan, I mean, the expectation would be that it would be a surprise if the immunity wanes or falls off, because there's been more and more studies. Yet another one came out yesterday that showed that the immunity to the natural infection, the memory that your immune system forms, seems to go beyond 6 months at least. And that would suggest that at that point, you know, you're not going to just lose that memory. So if the vaccine does the same thing, and there's no reason why you would think that it wouldn't, we have a situation where we should have longer-term coverage. Which, of course, would be great, but we need time to prove that.
Now Pfizer is saying that it's going to be seeking emergency use authorization from the FDA within the coming days. Walk us through the timeline of what that could mean when it comes to vaccine distribution.
Yeah, I would expect not less, you know, this would not take much more than a few weeks in terms of getting the approval. You know, the drug that was the antibody that was recently approved from Eli Lilly, the FDA did that in the space of just shy of 2 months, and that did have a problem. It was stopped in a phase 3 for hospitalized patients, and there were some manufacturing issues. Here, so far, we haven't heard anything. So, I'm hoping that the emergency use authorization could be in place by sometime in December.
So in just a few weeks, it could happen. And then what are we expecting in terms of who could get the vaccine first, where it could be headed? Obviously, we have a pandemic that is surging across the country from coast to coast at this point.
Yes, absolutely. And frankly, it's up to the local health authorities and all that to decide how to do this. There are two ways if you do this. You either go and try and protect, obviously, the people who are at high risk of getting the infection, i.e. the healthcare people. Who work in healthcare. So that's about 16 million in the United States. And you decide to vaccinate the elderly. Now that we know it's that effective, that's another way of doing it, to protect them and therefore relieve the pressure on our healthcare system. The other way you could do it is to go, I tell you what, we go in and vaccinate people who are the ones who are spreading the disease, the younger population. Let's get them vaccinated first to reduce the spread of the disease. I don't know which way it will go, but my sense is that they'll go more for the first version I've just spoken about.
We have less than a minute left here, Sam. What kinds of complications could we foresee in terms of ramping up manufacturing of this vaccine and then getting it distributed to where it's needed?
Yeah, so we still have the minus 70 degrees temperature question, et cetera. But as I've said before, the number of doses available for these vaccines is not going to be levels at which we're going to worry about how to, do we have enough freezer space to get them around. I suspect that in the next month or two, and Pfizer has been working on this, its own distribution plan, we will have the technology and capabilities to get this around. I keep reminding everybody that although Ebola obviously wasn't a global pandemic, it was in Africa where you would expect supply chains would be tougher, and it requires a minus 60 to minus 80 degree freezing. So it's doable.
Sam Fazeli, Senior Pharmaceutical Analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. Again, thank you for being with us this morning on the breaking news that Pfizer and BioNTech will plan a filing for emergency use authorization as their vaccine proves 95% effective. We're going to have much more on Bloomberg surveillance on this breaking news and taking a look at Pfizer shares in the pre-market. They're up almost 3%. Karen?
All right. Thanks, Nathan. It is currently 6:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT connects more than 1,700 tech-savvy students every year with the world's top industry employers through co-ops and internships. Learn more at njit.edu/CDS. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The U.S. has approved the first COVID self-testing kit. The FDA issued an emergency use authorization to Lucira Health's rapid result kit. It's the first test that can be self-administered and provide results in 30 minutes or less. Bad cabling is being blamed for the failed launch of a rocket that was meant to lift two European satellites into orbit. The European Space Agency said the Vega carrier rocket deviated from its trajectory 8 minutes after liftoff. The Vega rocket was carrying Spain's first Earth observation satellite and a French satellite designed to observe events in the upper atmosphere. It's been an eventful few days for Elon Musk. The billionaire tested positive for COVID-19. His rocket company launched four astronauts into space, and his electric car maker Tesla was named for inclusion in the S&P 500 index. The last bit of news also means Musk became the world's third richest person, leapfrogging Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg. Musk's wealth is now more than $109 billion, according to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. It is 6:55 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker. John, good morning.
Yeah, we head to Austin, Texas this morning, Karen, where Katrina Brooks runs Black Pearl Books. This black-owned bookseller has had some unique challenges during the pandemic, also seen business boom. Katrina, yours is an online bookstore, but there was still a big impact from the pandemic. Is that right?
It's an online bookstore. However, at the time, I wouldn't have considered us an online bookstore. It was really more about doing pop-ups and being in the community. The pandemic hit. All of the plans that we had, all of the events that we had scheduled out through March, April, May, were obviously canceled.
Now, with the killing of George Floyd, how did business change?
This huge awakening of society took place. Our online traffic increased by like 200%. You know, this overnight thing where all of a sudden we started getting order after order after order. It really was people seeking knowledge, people being impacted by what they had seen and seeking knowledge about, you know, racism, anti-racism, social injustice. I've seen a different side of people. I've seen kindness. I've seen the coming together of people. I've seen the support, you know, not only for Black businesses, but for small businesses, for women-owned businesses. We've had people reach out and say, hey, I want to just come volunteer. I just want to help in any way that I can. I know that you were inundated with orders. You're a small business with limited resources. I just want to help, you know. And so we've seen the good side of it.
Katrina Brooks of Black Pearl Books in Austin, Texas. Thanks very much. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. And futures are higher. S&P futures up 9.5 points. Watching shares of Pfizer up about 2.5 points this morning. Boeing up 4.25%. And Pfizer up 2.4%, I meant to say. Bloomberg surveillance straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.